Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL. Having fun on a Monday, as we always do, one of our favorite parts on Mondays, bringing in our good buddy, our good pal, our Hollywood insider, Al Harris. Al, thanks as always for coming along and giving us some of your time. And boy, I've been avoiding this question, and I've tried the best I could to avoid this topic throughout the first few minutes of the show. But because I have to bring it up, as my tag team partner chuckles at me, I guess we have to get into this Fast and Furious nonsense because apparently it made lots and lots of money over the weekend. Your thoughts on the Fast and Furious 75, 78, or whatever it was this weekend?
Well, my first thought is I think we might have a Fast and the Furious 75 because if it's going to keep getting numbers like this, they're not going to stop making them anytime soon. It did okay domestically, but it crushed internationally as it became the highest grossing movie weekend of all time, beating The Force Awakens by a couple million. So it grossed over, I think it was like 500 or 400 million internationally, Bull. So I hate to break it to you, man, but it looks like there's going to be a lot more of these coming out because it seems like foolish now with how good it does overseas, especially in Asia. They're going to keep making these hand over fists, as many as they can. And they might even at some point start doing, you know, spin-offs, breakaways, because it's just a money train. It's eight movies in, and it just blew its previous numbers away. It's not going to stop.
I guess my thing is, you know, it's never going to win any award. You're never going to see this thing nominated at the Oscars or anything like that. What exactly is it, man, that keeps people going back to this stuff? I mean, the stories, everything I read, you know, the stories are bad. You know, it's really tough to sit through those 2.5 hours in between the great opening scene and apparently the great ending scene. I haven't seen it, so I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just telling you what I've heard. But
yeah.
What keeps people going back to this stuff? If the stories are that bad and they're just repetitive, as it seems like they are, why do people keep going back? Is the action really that great?
You know, I've seen most of them. I have not seen this last one. And they're, you know, they're fun little diversions. They're not good movies by any stretch of what we, you know, I'm guessing me and you think
agreed.
Is a good movie.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's, you know, it's got some charming leads. The Rock, as always, is usually charming. They had Jason Statham. You know, Vin Diesel can't do much, but he can definitely blow up cars. And that's it, man. It's cars, it's explosions, it's stupid dialogue. It's just, it's a lot, and they keep adding more. They had a plane in one. I think there's some sort of submarine in this one.
Oh, wow.
They're just going to keep upping it up, keep spending more money. People love these huge action set pieces, and when you have, like, this big of a cast, and they added Charlize Theron to this one, who looked absurd in the trailers, but I guess...
Well, that fits right in with everything else, because the trailers also looked absurd.
Yeah, I guess they're just not shooting for your demographic, Bull, because I'm telling you, man, I don't know what it is either, but it just, because to me, it's nothing like bigger than like a Mission Impossible or something like that, which has a better story and has the same set pieces.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, I guess there's just something about not taking yourself seriously and just having fun with what you have. And the last one they had, you know, the built-in storyline with Paul Walker's death, and that made sense why it did so well. I knew it was going to do huge numbers this weekend, but I'm shocked it did as well as it did, even beating Force Awakens. That blows me away.
Yeah, I didn't realize it beat Force Awakens. That kind of took me away. But it just seems like a simple movie. I mean, no other way to do it but that. It's just a lot of cars blowing up. I mean, they have like 6 Transformers now too, don't they?
And yeah, exactly. Well, and the crazy thing to me is I was looking at the thing that's the most shocking to me about this whole thing is domestically, it actually did worse than most of it, like big time movies. Like, did a lot worse than Force Awakens, a lot worse than even Transformers 3 of all movies, and a lot of these. But internationally, it just destroyed.
All right, well, let's transition and let's get out of this Fast and Furious stuff. And we'll talk about some other movies that you can actually find at home. And there are actually, I was looking this weekend, Al, there's a ton, man. There are an absolute ton of really good movies that you can find on demand. For example, you have Rogue One, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Hidden Figures, Patriot State, which I actually saw over the weekend as well. For the younger crowd, Sing's available now. Admittedly, I watched that in theaters. I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was really well done. If you were to take a look at the new movies that are out on demand or on DVD, Blu-ray, Netflix, whatever your, you know, whatever your taste is, give me a couple of those that you would say are must-watches over the next week or two while they are still available on demand.
Yeah, we'll do. Well, this is like the good time of year where it's, even though it's spring, it's getting nice out, the home video is getting great because right now there's not a lot of good movies in the movie theater, and all of the movies that premiered, you know, Christmas time, Academy Award season, are now out on video, getting released now. And there's, yeah, like I said, there's a ton, like you said. I definitely, Rogue One I thought was great, and I don't think it'll lose anything on the home video. And it was definitely a different take on Star Wars. It seemed very much like more self-contained, more built around the characters. And so I definitely recommend Rogue One. As well as for the art house crowd listening in, there's a foreign film that just was released called Tony Erdmann that got phenomenal reviews. It's supposed to be a very like sadistic comedy, but a lot of fun. I recommend that as well. And you know, for the Academy Award crowd, La La Land just got released. I wasn't a huge fan of it, but I definitely think it's worth checking out. There's some great musical numbers. There's some great acting. So I definitely recommend that one as well.
Let me ask you real quick, Al. I know one of the movies that just recently came out on DVD, too, and Blu-ray was the movie Split. Now, I hear there's talks of M. Night Shyamalan possibly making a sequel to this one. I don't want to put any spoilers out there, but have you heard anything about that? Could they possibly do it? And wouldn't that sort of ruin the first Split? In my opinion, I think it sort of does.
Well, I agree with you, but I think, I don't want to, again, same as you, put out any spoilers, but
yeah.
It's, you know, it's in the same universe of another film he did, I'll
sure.
just say that. And so you have that built-in fan base, and we've talked about this with other things before. If you already have that built-in fan base and you can make money, they're going to make money. Whether M. Night Shyamalan's involved in it, I mean, as a director,
yeah.
obviously he'll be involved in, you know, producing and other stuff. But it seems to me like it's not necessarily a sure thing, but it seems smart money that something mm-hmm. else in that universe will happen, whether it's a sequel to Split or whether it's like combining both films or expanding the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have something there. And just like the Cloverfield universe, where it's absurd to me that you know, found footage monster movie has got into 10 Cloverfield Lane and a couple other movies that are in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we could see something along those lines with Split.
Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We talked about some of those movies that are available now, whether it be on demand or Netflix or whatever the case may be. You mentioned to us earlier that while it may not be a great movie week or weekend coming up, there are some really interesting things to watch throughout the course of the week on TV. Now, the other thing to mention here, too, is that, you know, we're getting to that point of the year where a lot of the big movies, or I should say the big TV series, they're going to have their series finales coming up here, too. So what kinds of big-time TV do you think we should be watching this week? What kinds of programs should we keep an eye out for?
Yes, well, yeah, this is a big week for a lot of good shows coming back. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Leftovers again, which premiered last night, and the premiere was fantastic. People should watch that, along with Veep premiered as well last night, and that was also a lot of fun for people who love this show, and I think people who haven't seen that should also get on board. This week you have Silicon Valley premiering on Sunday, a new Netflix show called Girl Boss, which seems a little interesting. It's more of like the, you know, freeform CW crowd, but I think it's getting decent reviews, so I think that might be worth checking out. Bill Nye's got his Netflix show coming out. But for my money, my my pick to click this week will be the third season premiere of Fargo, which premieres this Wednesday. And for people who know very little about it or haven't seen it before, each season is a whole new kind of mini series, new characters, new themes, new plot. And this year stars Ewan McGregor as brothers. Actually, he's playing two roles. One's kind of a con artist. One's like a rich guy, and it looks very entertaining. And I'm looking forward to seeing that this week.
I'm just curious. I saw a little bit of the first season of that one. Great show. I just somehow lost it on my DVR and then never picked up on it again. But it seemed like the first season of Fargo, which came out on FX, they tied that into the movie. Did they keep going that route or not?
Yeah, there's a lot of like flourishes where, like, especially Fargo season one tied in a lot more to the existing world of Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple things that harken straight back to that. While season two was basically one of the characters from season one, it was like his story from 30 years earlier.
Huh.
But what they do very smart is they keep like a lot of the Coen brothers themes there, a lot of their sense of humor, and they do a lot of like winks and nods at like old Fargo movies. Like there's a scene in season one in the elevator, which is completely stolen from Barton Fink. And they do a lot of that, like kind of homages to the Coen brothers, even through season two, they did as well. So for someone who's a diehard Coen brothers fan, like myself, it's a lot of fun to watch and pick up these little nods.
Can't dislike the Coen brothers and kind of coexist with me on this show. You know that, my friend. As long as you and I go back, you know that you have to kind of like the Coen brothers to be on the show for sure.
Well, Bull, you're the only one I know who can quote every single line from Big Lebowski.
Hey, it's a gift. I've just learned it over the years. It's our buddy Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Now, as much as I was dreading having to ask you about the Fast and Furious 9465 or whichever one came out, I am very excited to ask you about the new Star Wars movie. They released the trailer late last week, The Last Jedi, and that's supposed to come out right around Christmas time, or at least that's what they're aiming for right now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about this movie? And I would expect that it's going to blow some people away because there are some twists and turns that could take place along the way.
Yes. Well, coming on the minority, I was not blown away by the trailer. It seemed a little, it was definitely more of like a teaser, and mm-hmm. that I did not get excited for it as much as I would have liked to, or as much as I did for, like, let's say the Thor trailer that came out a couple weeks ago. But what I am excited about is Rian Johnson, the director of this one, who also wrote it, is one of my favorite directors. For people who don't know much about him, they should check out the movie Brick, which was his first, or Looper, which is a great kind of sci-fi movie. I think he's by far the best director they've had to shoot a Star Wars movie. And he's very inventive, and he wrote the script. So I'm really excited to see what he does with the material. And so even if I didn't love the trailer, just that alone I'm very excited for, and to see what happens with Luke Skywalker, where it seems a little ominous with what he's going to be doing and like the rest of the characters. So I'm very excited to see what happens, even though I didn't love the trailer as much as other people have.
Well, we will cut you loose on this, my friend. You've actually alluded to it already, but a segment with you would not be complete if we didn't get your picks to click for the week. I know you mentioned a couple of things already, but if there's anything else out there that we left out that you may think we should be watching for, what do you think they would be?
Well, I definitely think, as I said earlier, check out Fargo this Wednesday on FX. That would be my pick to click for this week, and just see what else is out. See how Girl Boss does, like I said, the Bill Nye thing. And then there's also a movie in theaters coming out. It won't be at the big theaters. It'll be in some of the smaller theaters. A movie called Free Fire, which stars Brie Larson and Armie Hammer, kind of in a garage, an action movie, but it's directed by...
It's an action comedy, right?
Yeah, it's an action comedy. It's directed by a guy named Ben Wheatley, who's been flying under the radar, but has a huge cult following in England with a lot of the movies he's done in the past. And this is like his biggest budget movie to date. and it looks like a lot of fun. It's not going to be one of those that breaks the box office or does well award season, but I think it looks like a fun crime comedy action movie.
Well, we look forward to it. I've seen a few posters for that at the theaters that I go to, so I'm anxious to see what that one is all about. I'm actually glad you recommended that, because if it gets your seal of approval, I will definitely go check it out. Al, we always love it when you come on. Thanks for giving us some of your time, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next Monday.
All righty, that's our Hollywood Insider, Al Harris, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to get a break in, but we're coming right back after this on Bullseye on the Afternoon.